If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through verses 15 through 14 and 15, excuse me. That's where we're going to be starting today. I was asked to do this lesson today. I'm thankful for the support and belief that I could do this. It's always a great opportunity to be able to express faith, but even more so in the church. It truly means a lot to me. Lesson focuses on young people and their introduction to important life lessons. Young people may be new to understanding how they should act. The Bible gives us stories of young people. These stories can offer valuable lessons. We can learn from their successes and failures. The examples provide a guide for making good choices. Understanding these lessons can help young people grow into responsible adults, and even for those who are no longer children in the Lord, this lesson can still serve as a learning point for all. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15 says, "So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, unto Christ." These verses emphasize the need for spiritual maturity in Christ. Believers must grow in all aspects to reflect Christ's character. They should not remain spiritual infants, easily swayed by every new idea. Instead, they need a firm foundation in truth. This protects them from false teachings that can lead them astray. Such teachings often come from human trickery. Skilled deceivers use cunning methods to promote error. They craft schemes designed to mislead and capture the unwary. Just as children lack the ability to judge threats, immature believers risk being deceived by those who would deceive them. Spiritual growth provides the knowledge and wisdom to recognize and resist these dangers. It keeps believers focused on Christ and His teachings. Verse 13 of this same chapter says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." These verses are a lesson for all to grow into that perfect faith, into the knowledge of Christ. This is true for all of us, especially for those who are still young in faith. One good example that we can find in the Bible for us young Christians is the example of Timothy. If you would turn to Acts chapter 16, we'll be reading the first two verses of this chapter. The first two verses of this chapter introduce Timothy. It says, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, who was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Timothy was spoken of well by the brethren. He grew up in Christ from a young age." Timothy is an amazing example for those who are young in Christ. He's a young Christian who accepted Christ and grew in Him daily, accompanying Paul often. And in Philippians 2, verse 22, it says, "But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel." Paul here talks about Timothy's proven worth, that their relationship was established in faith, being similar to father and son, Paul being Timothy's mentor in Christ. In addition to this, several times Timothy is referred to as a brother, as trusted, as a child in Christ. If you would turn to 1 Timothy 4:12. In 1 Timothy 4:12 it says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, and in faith, and in purity." This verse is instructing Timothy in his youth to have these examples. In speech, which is how he talks and communicates with the people around him. In conduct, which is the actions that he would do. In love, which is how he cares for those around him. In faith, which is what he believes in. And impurity, which is how he should follow that belief entirely. These are attributes we all portray, whether we portray them for good of those around us or for evil, is up to how we act. We want to constantly be aware of ourselves and consider ourselves to make sure that we are a good example. This is true for all of us, but especially for those who are new in Christ. Another verse that applies here is in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. The whole of Ecclesiastes is a call to cherish our life and not to waste our time on worldly things. And in this verse it says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." This verse is both good advice and a warning to both who are young and to those who are young in the Lord, like Timothy. We are to always keep God in our minds and worship Him while we are young, as this will be a great help in the future and can help protect us from the evil days that are warned will come. Timothy certainly did this, as he was a follower of Christ from a very young age and dedicated everything he had to following God. But what if we don't want to give up everything, though? There's another example that we're going to look at in Matthew 19. We'll start in verse 16. Many of us may know this. This is the example of the rich young ruler. And in Matthew 19, verse 16, it starts, "And behold, a man came up to him, saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments, he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All of these I have kept, what do I still lack? Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had many possessions." Here's another good example for us. Young man who followed all the commandments, he listened to every word, and even believed. Yet he was unwilling to take that final step. Could not attain salvation. Rich young man could not let go of his worldly possessions, valued his earthly wealth too much. This story serves as a warning. Shows the strong pull of the world. The allure of riches can be a dangerous trap. Many people get caught up in wanting more. They seek wealth and status. They think these things will bring them happiness. Think of someone who spends all their time working. They neglect family, faith. Their focus is on material things, not of the Scripture. This pursuit can lead them away from God. Desire for earthly things can overshadow spiritual need. The rich young man's story is a reminder. Do not let the world distract you. Keep your heart focused on eternal things. If you would turn to Luke 12, verse 15, we have another point to make on this. Luke 12, verse 15 says, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." We are to be focusing on God and our treasures in heaven, and our growth in Christ instead of things of this world. Our life and our personality should not be defined by the possessions and riches that we have obtained. The treasures of this world are nothing compared to the treasures in heaven that we build up by following His Word. Another verse we can look at is in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up." This verse speaks of a future day when the Lord will return. On that day, the earth and everything in it will be burned up. This means that nothing we have on earth is meant for forever. No, none of our possessions, nothing that we carry, our houses, our cars, our bank account, whatever we have, nothing will last. Not even our achievements. Everything we have will be destroyed when God judges the world. Understanding this changes how we should live now. We should focus less on earthly things. We should focus more on things that have eternal value. Our relationship with God and how we treat others are very important. The rich young ruler should have learned this. These are things that will last beyond the day of destruction. This truth encourages us to live for God, not for the world. We should live with a focus on eternity, not focusing on possessions of this world. If you turn to Matthew chapter 6, start in verse 19. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, where thieves do not break in or steal." We must focus on the spiritual instead of the physical, which the rich young ruler was laying up all earthly treasures and was not willing to let go of his possessions in this world. One more verse we can look on is Philippians chapter 3. We'll start in verse 17. This verse says, "Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly. They have glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things." We must imitate Christ in all ways, and walk according to the example that has been set before us by the gospel. Those who reject Christ, those who are enemies, serve their desires. Their God is their bellies, as it is said. They set their minds on earthly desires instead of walking in Christ. It says their end is destruction. We must be careful that we do not place faith on things of this world, like the rich young ruler did. Otherwise, we might lose out on that salvation that is in Christ. But even the rich young ruler, while he may not have been saved, at least he had obeyed. There are some who have not even done this. Some who are young who have not made the commitment, who are still in sin. An example of someone like this can be found first, Acts chapter 7. These verses tell about Stephen's stoning. Right before this event, a detail appears. Verse 58, it says, "Then they cast him out of the city, stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul." Witnesses placed their garments around by this young man. His name is Saul. This is our very first introduction to Saul in the Bible. It is a brief, almost hidden moment, yet it marks the start of a key figure story. Saul watched as Stephen, a follower of Jesus, died for his beliefs. The act of laying down clothes was practical. It allowed the witnesses to throw stones freely, but it also suggests the approval of Saul. Saul's presence shows his involvement. He was not just there. This moment sets the stage for Saul's later actions. It shows his initial opposition to the early church. This would all come around in the very next chapter, in Acts chapter 8, the very first verse. "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at the time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Following the stoning of Stephen, Saul began his intense persecution of Christians. Verse 3 of Acts chapter 8 says that he haled men and women, committing them to prison. Saul's actions were so severe and widespread. He was not just arresting a few people. Instead, he was actively seeking out believers. He dragged both men and women from their homes. They were then thrown into prison because of their faith. The result was that believers and Christ were scattered throughout the region. Christians fled Jerusalem to escape Saul's reach. It was not until the road to Damascus that Jesus spoke to Saul. It was here that Saul realized he was on the wrong path, and that what he was doing was wrong. So Saul asked Jesus, "What shall I do, Lord?" Jesus tells Saul to go into Damascus, where we'll turn to Acts chapter 9, starting verse 18, where this context picks up. It says, "Immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. After Ananias found Saul, he baptized him. Saul needed to be baptized to wash his sins away." We do this now with verses like Acts 2:38, where it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." It is a required part of salvation that rids us of our sins as it did Saul. It was after he was baptized that Saul changes his name to Paul and goes forth teaching the word. Paul's life is a key example of change through faith. He openly admits to being a sinner in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. He calls himself the chief of sinners. This shows the depth of his past actions. Paul's life was transformed. Despite his history, he moved from sin and became a teacher of Christ. He became a guide for others. Paul mentored Timothy. Timothy, who was introduced earlier in this lesson, Paul's transformation highlights the salvation through Christ. His story shows even those deep in sin can find redemption. His teachings and guidance impacted many. Timothy gained much knowledge from Paul. Paul's story is a powerful testament for those who are young to keep away from sin because of the damage that it did to him. And if it was not for the incident on the road to Damascus, he may not have changed. Timothy gained much knowledge from Paul. Paul's story is a powerful testament to faith's ability to change lives. His experience gives hope to all, and it shows change is always possible through belief. These three examples give us both instruction and warning, as is true for every figure in the Bible, but these examples relate to specifically those who are young at the time, those who may be in Christ, those who may not yet be in Christ, those who may be thinking about being in Christ, but young nonetheless. And all of those that still have a long time to grow in the world. Like in the scripture reading that we read this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 3. Verse 2 says, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." We must look to scripture and be able to grow into salvation that all of us are striving for. We have to be able to grow. Because if we cannot, we will stay stuck in sin, always being young in Christ, but growing old in sin. Or the verse mentioned earlier, Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember, also your Creator in the days of your youth. we have to take advantage of our youth. Our youth is a very long time for us to be able to develop, to grow, to build these bonds with Christ, to learn the scripture, to be able to make an example to those around us as well, so that they also might be saved. Study in the Word, so that we may be prepared for the years to come. Though we may be young for 17, 20 years, however long people think young is nowadays, we're not young forever. We will eventually be old, and we will eventually have to be that mentor figure to someone. We will have to be an example to those who are in the next generation, those who are younger than us. We must be prepared for the years to come. While we get older, things will get harder for us. People will rely on you more. The world will break down on you more. You have to be strong. You have to trust in the Lord constantly. Otherwise, you will not survive, or you might fall back into temptation. Our youth is a valuable time to learn about God. Study His Word diligently so that you'll be ready for the future. As we finish, look at these examples. They teach and warn us. Timothy heard and obeyed the gospel. And he is a great example for those who heard, for those who are striving to be good examples. Timothy warned us about false teachings. He was told to stay pure, like we are too. Worldly things can easily distract us, like money, riches, anything. Possessions in this world will lead us away from God. We cannot set our minds on anything in this world that is not in God's favor. It can lead us away from God's path that He has set forth before us. Paul told Timothy to focus on faith, love, and peace. Follow the right path with others who love God. Like we said before, set a good example in speech, life, love, faith, and purity. These are five things that we all have. Everyone's talks, everyone has a life, everyone has some love, everyone has faith in something. But we need to have that purity too, and make sure that it's good purity and not a stained purity of the world that they would think is purity. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young. People may not rely on you. People may not see you as anything. But young people, most of the time, have the brightest minds of the generation and are setting up for the world in the future. Instead, show them how to live for God. Being a good example protects you and guides others. Staying in God's Word helps you stand firm. Being grown up in the Word can help prevent temptation. Learning the Word as you grow up can help you understand the faults in others. You know what's good and bad, what to do and what not to do, but there are some who don't have that. Some who did not grow up in the Word. You have to be examples to those too. You have to know, as was mentioned in the class today, you have to know how to answer every question that might come across. While that might not mean answering every single question that you might be asked, but at least knowing that how you're saved, how you're baptized to be saved, and what that means for you in the future, and how you are to continue to be serving Him in the future. You may be like Timothy, in which case you are saved, but you would still need to have a constant guard from the evils of this world, from false teachings, from temptations. Many temptations that there are, so that we are a good example to those around us, so that they would have no reason to judge us for our youth, Maybe you see yourself in the story of the rich young ruler. He heard the call of the gospel. He even followed all of the commandments. He just did not want to let go. He walked away, unable to fully commit to God's path. His heart was tied to those earthly possessions that we know will not last. These things became more important than spiritual devotion. You may also be letting worldly concerns cloud your judgment. This is so, then you need to pray to God and ask for forgiveness. If you need the support of us, the prayers of the congregation, we can help with that. Maybe you are like Saul. He was lost in sin before his conversion. He was persecuting the church. He needed to change drastically. The word of God changed him. The incident on the road to Damascus changed him. He was baptized into Christ by Ananias. So after washed away his sins, he then began a life of service to God, where he became that mentor to Timothy. But if you still are in that sin, maybe you need a chain like his to repent, to be baptized into Christ, so that you may have that same salvation that is offered to all. Whatever your need may be, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.